America, and to all of our listeners all over the world, you're listening to yet another exciting episode of Let's Weekend. I am your host with the most, Brandon Perkins. Joining me, as always, is Felipe Denolfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Sologi. Say hi, guys.
Hello.
Yeah. As you probably know, as we speak, well, there is a hurricane that is bearing down on the southeast, specifically in the Carolinas.
Yeah.
Fortunately,
it looks nothing like the National Weather Service depicted it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. For once, Florida is not getting hit, so.
No. Of course, with Florida, that's just like, it's just Tuesday, but.
Yeah.
It seems like they just downgraded it to a tropical storm.
Yeah.
Yeah. But don't make no mistake, tropical storms ain't nothing to.
Yeah, I think we've already had a few people die. Yeah.
Yep. I mean, you guys remember this, and I was just talking about it before we had the show. When Hurricane Irma turned into Tropical Storm Irma and just kept going north after she went through Florida, she...
It was a death toll.
Yeah, she knocked out a good third of the power here in Georgia. Me and my family, we didn't have power for almost a week.
Yeah.
Knocked out a bunch of trees, and that was just a tropical storm.
Yep.
You know.
Didn't it knock over a tree into Lee's house or something?
Yeah, pretty sure it did.
Well, in front of, it didn't actually.
In front of, it didn't.
That's good.
But, we didn't have it. No. Now, we didn't get any trees on our house, and that's partly because Dad was smart enough to go ahead and cut down all the trees in our yard. But, you know, years beforehand. But we did suffer from things like, you know, obviously the power was out. One of the power poles actually snapped in half and was just kind of lying there in the middle of the street.
That sounds hideously unsafe.
They got it. You know, they managed to rebuild it pretty quickly.
Providers Tri-County.
Yeah, Tri-County Co-op. And, they work pretty fucking fast.
Never had a bad interaction with them.
Nope. It's co-ops. Why co-ops are awesome. But, yeah, and yet there were all these stupid bastards on the Carolina coast saying, "Nah, we're just going to stick around and just ride it out, be able to tell the grandkids."
And now there aren't going to be any.
Yeah. Nope. fucking stupid people, I swear to God. If the governor goes on TV and tells you you may need to evacuate inland, you need to fucking evacuate inland.
Even if the governor's normally a bozo, he also knows his shit.
Even if it's fucking Rick Scott.
Yeah.
You know.
If Rick Scott is telling you that the storm is going to fucking kill you,
you might want to believe him just this one time.
He's a local. He's been through these.
Yeah.
Yeah. So other than that shit, I mean, let's be honest, that fucking hurricane was pretty much like the top story this week.
Yeah.
Until yesterday, anyway.
Because some other major shit happened. Our asshole of the week is the perennial asshole of the week. You know who it is. We'll be getting to it. We'll also be talking about the crazy shit that's still going on with our immigration system. A neighborhood in Massachusetts basically got fucking incinerated by a gas explosion. We'll be talking about that, too. We all knew that vapors were kind of assholes, but apparently it's becoming an epidemic with the kids, and so the FDA is starting to sound the alarm, as you can expect. Mm-hmm. And, of course, we'll get some other crazy shit, and, of course, stuff that's not news, like, you know, the NRA being a bunch of lunatics.
Yeah.
That one's just going to make you scratch your head and go, huh?
And yet, at the same time, water is wet.
Yeah.
We'll be talking about all that and more on this week's episode of Let's Weekend. So, Phil, what have you been up to this week?
Well, it's been mostly PS3 hacking. I got my PS3 all packed up. I've got custom firmware installed. I'm able to, like, install games and stuff. And do all that kind of fun stuff, and now my PS3 has developed hot power supply disease. So, yeah, that's awesome. When I'm sitting here and it's like the fan is like running at 100% and it's like not doing anything, that's probably not a good sign.
Yeah.
So I'm figuring like, I think I'll just kind of like set that aside for now and actually like get all the parts together to do some refurbishment because, the end result of hot power supply disease is usually either A, the yellow light of death, or flames. So both of those.
You don't want either of those.
No.
No.
So, I'm going to be right now I have in the other tab, I have a table of compatible power supplies, and I'm looking over efficiencies to figure out which one I want to find, and it looks like I know which one I want to get now, so going to be that. I'm going to have to redo the thermal paste and probably also install a fan controller on there as well. So, it's going to be a little bit of a project, and I'm going to end up having to find out whether or not it's actually more cost-effective for me to actually get another PS3. But the thing of it is, I don't really want to because it's an original AO1 like launch model. So, I don't want to keep that running. Yeah.
I've got one of those kicking around myself, but it's got a... Well, you seem to... You think it's under a GPU issue?
If it's just if it's a hard freeze, it could be a GPU.
That's that's what it's doing.
Yeah, it could also just as easily be a power supply issue. So
okay,
yeah, it's that's one of those things where you kind of really need to find a guy who's really good at electronics and be able to sort that out for you. I know there's a few places around that like specialize in console repairs and that kind of stuff. So it's kind of worth looking into because these things are actually getting pretty rare now. So
yeah,
So that's
kind of. I've got two PS3s and I want to preserve them.
Yep. So what have you been up to?
Also some PS3 hacking, as you know.
Yeah.
I'll definitely be going all in on that this weekend now that I've got time and energy. Mm. I still haven't really done much with the preliminary work as far as installing games or homebrews or anything, but I'm definitely going to get cracking on that sooner than later. And other than that, NHL training camp is underway, which is one of the nails in Summer's coffin.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So that is good. Really looking forward to this season. There's been a lot of player movement that should make for interesting stories going into the season. And NHL 19 is out now, so bonus. Mm. And you know, it's just one of the best times of the year, honestly. And other than that, I found a giant 130 some odd gig archive of classic Loveline episodes, and so I've been listening to a lot of that. Just one of the radio shows I grew up on, and it's great to see how many episodes from the 90s and early aughts have been preserved.
It was pretty much a public necessity too at the time because
Well, it's a public necessity now. It's just we don't have it, and so you see a lot of the stories that we end up covering sometimes. but like people recycling condoms and what have you.
Yeah.
It's just a really good listen. They've had some amazing guests over the years, and for the most part, the advice really holds up. So, I'm actually going to get a link to that and stick it in the show notes because...
Wasn't Adam Carolla on that show a lot?
For a year. Well, he was one of the regular hosts for years and years.
Yeah.
That was really what put him on the map, even before he did The Man Show.
Yeah.
So...
And then he just became an asshole, but... Yeah.
But, you know, you forget what he is now, and he's actually very enjoyable on Loveline through all the years he was there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that nobody can take away from us.
Yeah.
But I will definitely get that.
All right.
That torrent link on there because, honestly, just it's worth going out of your way to listen to.
Yep. All right. Well, Chris, what about you?
Yeah, so I finally got around to watching Black Panther. It's on Netflix now.
Uh-huh.
And it's very good. I like it a lot. Yeah, really not too much to say about it, but they definitely set up some interesting stuff for a sequel.
Uh-huh.
So I hope eventually we get that. But yeah, I also watched American Vandal Season 2.
Yeah, this is the mockumentary.
Tale of the Turd Burglar.
Yep.
Where something has happened and every kid, or not every kid, but many kids in this Catholic school has gotten explosive diarrhea. And the two kids that ran the documentary from the first season calls to investigate this mystery, and they sort of go through their weird brand of obsessive investigation about this stuff, and it really goes some places. Managed to watch the whole thing today since it just came out, and it is quite good, especially since they interview somebody in later on, sort of asks about the turd burglar. It's like, what the fuck is a turd burglar? yeah, there's some good stuff there. People should definitely check that out if they like the first season. Also continuing to watch Parks and Rec. I am in season 6 where they bring in Eagleton, sort of merge the town into Pawnee, because they have gone bankrupt. And when they sort of merge the parks departments together, there's some great stuff there, especially with Billy Eichner. Doing his thing where he just yells and does it and isn't mean about it. And that's there's another Ron who is kind of the opposite of him. He's like vegan, wears sandals, non-violent, all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And that's, I forget who plays him. The one of the guys that does, like, beer commercials and all that, voiceovers for that. But, yeah, that's continuing to be great. And I think I hit the point where Guardians of the Galaxy came out.
Because
Andy is in better shape, which they joked about how he just stopped drinking beer. That got him to lose a bunch of weight. to which what I think Ben was with him was asking, like, how much were you drinking?
Wasn't he just supposed to be a guest star for the first few episodes, too?
Yeah, I think he just stuck around. but yeah, that has been really good to watch. And I've got, I think, one more season after this to go. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to finishing that off, hopefully next couple weeks. As for games, I have been playing Dragon Quest XI some more. I got into the next big area. So the next chapter of the story, once you get out of the first area, which has some interesting stuff there. I got to the first town, and is essentially like a feudal Japanese town where everybody speaks in haikus.
Yeah.
Which works out pretty well. The music is great there because it's definitely not like normal Dragon Quest music. I don't know if that's a normal thing in Dragon Quest games where they have like a Japanese town
like that,
or if they try to stick more to the.
I gotta tell you, I played a lot of Dragon Quest. That's pretty unique. Okay. So,
yeah, because there's like bamboo forests. The whole point of the town is like there's a big spa, like legendary spa and all that. Everybody lives in like you know, bamboo houses, and all that sort of stuff. Yeah, that's still been very good. Working my way through it. Yeah.
All right.
Trying to stay out of the rain for most of this week. We got a ton of it from, I think it was Tropical Storm Gordon. That hit up here over the weekend. I think during the Browns game they got, I think the forecast was 5 to 8 inches of rain.
Yeah.
About 3 hours.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. That game was pretty slow.
I mean, if you were feeling too dry, then problem solved.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think it was Thursday was the day yesterday that we kind of stopped having rain at all in any part of the day.
Mm.
Then I think we've got rain coming next week, probably at the tail end of Florence. But yeah, that's been largely it.
All right.
How about you,
Brandon? Currently I'm still playing, of course, Divinity Original Sin 2. Making pretty good progress. Am very impressed by just the sheer amount of stuff that can be done in that game. Because there's like a ton of side quests and stuff that you can do at any given time. And it's like stuff like, some of it's like really dark because, like, again, as I mentioned last time, this is basically a religious order called the Magisters trying to incarcerate and purge any person that seems to show that they use source magic or has an affinity for source magic. And there's also stories where, stuff that's a little lighter. But most of it is, it's pretty hard. I've said that before. There is like a sort of difficulty. There's like what's called the story mode, explorer mode, and classical mode. And story mode is like the least hard of all of them, but it's still pretty hard. You are advised to save often because, there is shit that you will come across that can basically kill you in, like, one hit if you're not careful. Everything from, like, stuff that can catch on fire to lava attacks, which are pretty much an instant kill. In fact, if you come across anything that is lava in general, you step into it, it's an instant death. Like, it's, you don't just suddenly are on fire and, suddenly it starts ticking down the hit points. Like, what usually happens with fire attacks in this game? No, you put a toe in the lava and you dead instantly. But I'm also at the halfway point of the game now, where I'm on the path of ascending to godhood. And we're fixing to go to this place called the Nameless Isle, which is where, like, I think the last third of the game is. But then again, considering how this game's been so far, it could just be another part of the halfway point. Because, like I said, this game is fucking huge. But it's still good. Having a lot of fun with it. Also, I don't have it listed in here, but also because, I'm excited for Valkyria Chronicles 4, and hopefully I'm going to be able to, if all things go well, we'll actually get a code in so I can actually review it without having to, actually go to GameStop and pay for it, because I don't like to pay for things. I decided to pop in my old copy of the original Valkyria Chronicles for PS2. I think it was PS2. Was it PS2 or PS3?
PS3.
Yeah, it was PS3. Sorry, I blanked out there for a second. But yeah. I forgot two things. One, I forgot how engrossing that game is almost immediately when you start. And also, I forgot how fucking cheap as hell it is, too. Because that game is a fucking, oh god, it, the enemies in that game are, I swear, they are genius level. That is a game where you really have to get your strategy down pat, because otherwise the AI will absolutely exploit the hell out of any weaknesses you have. Especially when it comes to tanks. The fucking tanks will find where you are and mutilate you very, very quickly. And of course, if you remember, Valkyria Chronicles, the whole sort of point of that series is that it's basically supposed to be a fantasy version of World War II, right?
Mm-hmm.
And they lay on the the allegory pretty thick when it comes to the Darsons. Which, for those you don't remember, in the game, the Darsons are basically the equivalent of this universe's Jews or Romani people. Yeah. Everything that goes along with that.
Yeah.
Yes, you do, in fact, find a Darson concentration camp. Yeah. It is totally a thing in this game. But, so other than that, obviously, I'm reading, as usual, because, fuck, I don't have a whole lot else. But I've also, other than that, I said I'd been reading lots of Fritz Lieber. I also started reading this manga called The Promised Neverland.
Yeah.
I've heard that's good.
Oh, it is very good. It is far better than a Shonen Jump series has any right to be. It is...
I'm feeling a little called out there.
I don't mean that in a bad way. I mean that this is the type of story you don't expect out of Shonen Jump, period. Because Shonen Jump, what is like Shonen Jump's sort of bread and butter? It's like, it's...
Action?
Over-the-top action stuff. Maybe with a little comedy. But that is not what The Promised Neverland is at all. It is basically... It's basically a story about a bunch of orphans who are in an orphanage where they're rated on a test system and they can't go towards the gate or leave the orphanage. And then they find out the reason why is because all the orphans are being fattened up to be eaten.
Okay, that's not where I thought that was going.
Nope.
Yeah. Hmm.
Yeah, you definitely need to give it a shot, because, goddamn, it is nightmare fuel incarnate. It really is. Because it starts out, like, so cutesy at first, and then you get halfway through the first volume, and holy fucking shit!
Yeah.
But, so other than that, pretty much just having to deal with asshole Summer.
Yep. He's here.
He's here. He's drank all of your brandy, and now he's not going to leave.
Yep. He's passed out on the couch.
Pissed on the curtains.
And the worst part is he's been... And the worst part now is that he's also been listening to Alex Jones a lot. So he's also really noisy as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He keeps talking about how the stuff's in the water. Yeah, so it's been, like, getting up to, like, 94, 95 Fahrenheit. So, yeah.
We luckily had a day in the upper 60s.
Yeah. Yeah, there's just times like this I'll, like, watch my old, riff track stuff for, like, Fun in Balloon Land or, Santa Claus Meets the Ice Cream Bunny. Just, Christmas stuff in general so I can sort of remember what it felt like to feel cold.
Yeah.
So. But,
At the point now here in Utah, I just have to go outside in the morning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But,
we've been having, like, 45-degree weather in the early morning.
Mm-hmm.
Like when I go across the street to work.
Well, it fucking snowed in July there once.
Yeah.
So, but anyway, so that's pretty much what I've been up to. Anybody got anything else they want to add?
Nope, I'm good.
Well, everything I've got to add is coming up.
All right. Well, I guess then it's time for everybody's favorite part of the show, Brandon's Random Factoid. And I promised this last time we did this, so I'm going to finally talk about it. I'm going to talk about the time that 7 people swallowed a Tylenol and died.
Hmm.
Yeah, so...
One back Tylenol.
Yep, just one. It wasn't Tylenol, but it was a Tylenol... Okay, so...
itself to them as a Tylenol.
Yeah, okay, so... Here's what you need to know. Okay, first of all, this happened specifically in Chicago, in the metropolitan area. It was 1982, between September 29th and September 30th. A group of people all over the city, they had all decided, because, you know, they were going to take some Tylenol. Now, Tylenol, you know, you usually take it. What do? You use it for pain relief, right?
Yeah.
Headaches, usually, shit stuff. Like mm-hmm. And, you know, Tylenol is acetaminophen. You know, that's the stuff you use. What they didn't know, though, is that someone in the factory, nobody has any idea who it was, had gotten into a shipment of Tylenol, or maybe the Tylenol was still in the factory, you know, on the conveyor belt or whatever, sometime between the time those pills were manufactured and the time it entered their bodies. Somebody had laced these Tylenol acetaminophen capsules with potassium cyanide.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah. And yes, 7 people died. And supposedly there were a bunch of copycat crimes that came afterwards that killed even more people. Yeah, so basically, it goes like this, and I'm going to be sort of having Wikipedia here to assist me, because it's kind of a complicated story. But basically, the first victim anyone knows was a 12-year-old named Mary Kellerman in Elk Grove Village, Illinois. She basically died after swallowing the capsule. Then there was a second, Adam Janus, in Arlington Heights, who was rushed off to the hospital and died later that day. His brother Stanley and his sister-in-law Teresa also died after taking it from the same bottle. And then within the next few days, we had Mary McFarland, Paula Prince, Mary Reiner, all died in the similar incidents. And of course, they immediately went to go see, you know, what was the common thread in all of this, and it was Tylenol. So they then immediately started doing some tests, and when they did the tests, they picked up traces of potassium cyanide in the bottles from they'd gotten, you know, that they'd actually gotten the medication. So as you can expect, America freaked the fuck out. The media issued warnings, patrol cars went through Chicago with loudspeakers warning them not to use Tylenol until further notice. Now, as far as any actual, as the police could tell, it's obvious that they believe that it wasn't actually the manufacturers or where the stuff was manufactured that they think this happened. The bottles, really? The bottles that they tested that were tampered with actually came from different pharmaceutical companies. And because, you know, it all happened specifically within the Chicago area, that made them think that sabotage was maybe ruled out. What they believe, what they concluded anyway, was that the culprit probably acquired the bottles of Tylenol from a few different retail outlets. So they probably got one from, like, a Walmart, maybe got another one from, like, a Walgreens or something.
Right.
This is the idea that they have. Remember, none of this has ever been concluded.
Wow.
But what they believe is that this guy, whoever it was, he got these bottles from different parts, from different pharmacies, then took them home over a period of a few weeks, contaminated these bottles with potassium cyanide, then went back and put the bottles back on the shelves where he found them. Hmm. In fact, here's the other thing. The 5 bottles that led to these 7 deaths, sometime later they actually found 3 other bottles that had been tampered with in some other local pharmacies. So basically this guy was taking the bottles, he was basically poisoning them, and then he would go back to where he had gotten the bottle, and he would quietly put the bottles back on the shelf and walk away.
But what about the protective sealing? Something about this doesn't still add up to me.
Well, that's the thing.
Ah, yes, that's the thing. Because guess what these bottles didn't have?
Yeah, they didn't have protective sealing in the 80s.
Nope.
Oh, is this how we got them?
Yeah.
This is how we actually got them. They didn't have the protective sealing, and they also didn't have the cotton ball. So because...
I still never figured out what the cotton ball was for.
The cotton ball is to make sure if there's any moisture inside of it.
Okay.
Because if you open something up and then close it back with that turn on cap inside of it, the bottle while it's open will like take in all of that moisture in the air.
Yeah.
And if you close it back, you know, that moisture just stays in, so it, you know, yeah. You know, it condensates and makes stuff a little wet.
Yeah.
So basically the cotton ball is to make sure that it's still nice and dry when you open it up.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Because if it's not, if you find out and the cotton ball is a little soggy, that means that sometime between being bottled in the factory and then getting into your home, it has been tampered with.
Yeah.
Now, you're probably thinking, okay, so who did they have? Did they have any suspects? They had a couple, but it was nothing inconclusive. One of the first they had was a guy named James William Lewis, who sent like a threatening note to Johnson & Johnson, basically demanding $1 million ransom to stop it. Problem is, though, there was no way he could be linked to it because, amongst other things, he was living in New York.
Yeah.
So he ended up, he was convicted of extortion. He served 13 years in jail. He got out in 95.
Play stupid games, win stupid prizes.
Yeah. And he's also come out in since for years since then saying, no, I had nothing to do with it. There was another guy named Roger Arnold that was cleared of it. And here's the thing. Because Roger Arnold, you know, because again, this was like a big story at the time. And so when the name of the second suspect, Roger Arnold, came out, he got so many, when his name came out, he got so much media attention, he actually had a nervous breakdown. Then he, well, here's what happened. He blamed this on this guy named Marty Sinclair, who was a local bartender and bar owner, and he believed that he somehow let the name slip. And it just sort of got out into the media. So then in 83, he went out and shot and killed a guy named John Stanisha, who he thought was Marty Sinclair. By the way, he was completely unrelated. He didn't even know Marty Sinclair. Didn't even know Arnold, for that matter. So he was
convicted. So this whole mess was the gift that keeps on giving.
Yeah. And then he ended up... he was convicted of second-degree murder and served 15 years of a 30-year sentence. Let's see. But there was also one more person, which was Laurie Dan, who poisoned and shot some people in 88, but they're not considered to be connected. So here's the thing. Since 2009, they reopened the case, so it's still ongoing. They never caught this person. That's like the freaky part of this whole thing.
Yeah.
They never caught the guy.
Got away with it so far.
I mean, at one point, Ted Kaczynski, of all people, was considered a possible suspect.
That's low-hanging fruit.
Mm-hmm. So, because of the Tylenol poisoning cases, if you get any kind of over-the-counter medication at a grocery store or a local pharmacy, be it something as simple as Tylenol or, you know, ibuprofen, something like that, you will always find two things. One is the little sealing caps on the top. These are usually made of plastic or foil or something like that. These are basically... And if you know anything about those things are basically put on so that you have to either pull the clear plastic tab or you have to stab into it with your thumb. Mm-hmm. But and then to further sort of safeguard it, like I said earlier, they added in the cotton ball, specifically so that you can see if there was any moisture. Because, like I said, if there's any moisture, it's a pretty good sign that at some point it was tampered with. Yeah. And it's because of that that, well, getting grandma's medication is an extra hassle. Yeah. And that has been another edition of Brandon's Random Factoid.
Take 2 Tylenol and call me in the morning.
Yep. Yeah, so that's
just
a hell of a
story. Make sure it's not been fucked with first.
Yeah. So that's a hell of a story, isn't it?
Yeah. Nice.
That, yeah, so like I said, that crap sort of popped up right around the time. Like I said last week when I was talking about, you know, the guy who ruined Halloween, all that crap started popping up right around the time that the satanic panic started. So, mm-hmm. So it's just, the 80s were a very paranoid time. What can I tell you?
Yeah.
All right, so. It's now time to do the show proper, and as always, we have to start with our asshole of the week. And, of course, it's our perennial asshole of the week.
He's not having to work very hard these days, to be honest.
No, so, obviously, with the current hurricane that we're dealing with over in the Carolinas, talk, of course, comes out from the other big hurricane that we had previously, which was Hurricane Maria, mm-hmm. which came in and basically wrecked Puerto Rico.
Yeah.
Now, as we now know, originally the first estimated death count from Hurricane Maria was fairly low. It was like 6 to 18 people. Yeah. Then it just kept growing exponentially. And then finally this week, the estimated report came out that it was about 3,000 people that died after Hurricane Maria.
Those are 9/11 numbers.
So, to get those numbers, basically, it's not just people who were directly hit by the storm, but also people who suffered fatal injuries or health problems because of, mm-hmm. you know, infrastructure,
dirty water, all that
dirty
sort of
water,
stuff.
They weren't able to get their dose, you know, stuff like that. Stuff that isn't a direct result of getting hit by Maria, but the stuff that happens in the wake of a destructive event like a hurricane.
Yeah.
You know, flooding and stuff like that. And so our president, Donald Trump, went on Twitter and said, nope, didn't happen.
He specifically said 3,000 people did not die in the two hurricanes that hit Puerto Rico. When I left the island, after the storm had hit, they had anywhere from 6 to 18 deaths. As time went by, it did not go up by much. Then, a long time later, they started to report really large numbers, like 3,000. Let me see if they have the second one.
Oh, yeah. He also, like, doubled down, like...
Yeah, basically blamed Democrats for it.
Mm-hmm.
That they came up with this, with this study to discredit him.
And Democrats don't have to do much here. They're doing a great job of discrediting himself.
Yeah, let me see if I can... Damn, he tweets so much bullshit.
Yeah, you kind of have to.
Does he tweet anything else?
No.
I think one of the tweets he had this week was 5 for 5. It's not really bullshit, it's just nothing.
Yeah.
And people are like, yep, 5 people you've gotten convicted, indicted.
And are now cooperating with the Mueller investigation.
Yep.
Yeah, okay, yeah, this was done by the Democrats in order to make me look as bad as possible when I was successfully raising billions of dollars to help rebuild Puerto Rico. If a person died for any reason, like old age, just add them onto the list. Bad politics. I love Puerto Rico. It's like, no, you fucking don't. There's a runway full of water, if you've seen that picture.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That FEMA delivered to Puerto Rico because their infrastructure was so bad, it never got moved to
nope.
where the
people they just
were.
Left it in a field somewhere and fucked off.
Now,
yeah, like there was like a freaking, you know, they had like a airplane sky photograph of this field that is full of plastic bottled water and just left there.
Yeah, and sort of the worst of all this is Rick Scott made a statement saying, I disagree with POTUS. In an independent study said thousands were lost, and Governor Rossello agreed. I've been to Puerto Rico 7 times and saw devastation firsthand. Loss of any life is tragic. The extent of lives lost as a result of Maria is heart-wrenching. I'll continue to help PR.
Also, he didn't really – he wouldn't have to have gone anywhere because there was like a good few thousand displaced Puerto Ricans who set roots down in Florida now.
Yeah,
so.
And anytime you make Rick Scott look like a reasonable human being, you've really fucked up.
Yeah.
It's sort of like how you could see Marco Rubio last week being a reasonable person after Alex Jones is heckling him.
Mm-hmm.
Donald Trump lowering the bar.
And who wouldn't love to just see Rubio tee off on him?
Oh, that would have been so excellent.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. All right.
And then we had like Paul Ryan had the most toothless statement about that thing. I don't think it's here, but basically.
Yeah, didn't he have like a press conference or something?
Yeah, he said like, you can't dispute the numbers, so I don't agree with him, but I didn't see the tweets. It's like, oh, what the fuck are you? Nobody gives a shit about you anymore, dude.
Yeah. Well, anyway. But now we can go to our heroes of the week. And our heroes of the week are the people in North Carolina who have fostered about 124 dogs since Florence hit North Carolina.
Yep. This is specifically related to the Saving Grace shelter in Wake Forest, North Carolina. They were trying to find homes for dogs for the weekend so that there would be less chance of anything bad happening.
Mm-hmm.
And people lined up around the block to take some dogs home.
Mm-hmm.
A bunch of tweets on Twitter of that. But, yeah, it's one of those cool things you don't necessarily think about as big storms like this hit.
Mm-hmm.
About, you know, the dogs. I saw a lot of stories just looking this up. About like shelters probably having to euthanize dogs before the storm hits. So this is actually something nice coming out of it.
Mm-hmm.
And probably some of these are going to probably stay with them.
Yep. So at least
there
we got
some good in the world. Let's not forget that.
Yeah.
It is hard to like, you know, remember that when you're faced with a whole bunch of bullshit every week. But
All right. So now it's time to start the proper show proper, and we start with our first story of the night, which is that Paul Manafort has pled guilty to 2 felonies and is agreeing to cooperate with the Mueller investigation, which makes him number 5.
Yep.
Yeah.
The felonies are for conspiracy against the U.S. and conspiracy to obstruct justice, as he was trying to tamper with witnesses.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that's
bad.
Yeah. And that's just one of his trials.
Yeah.
I think
he's still got another one coming up. Actually, that was one of them. That was the one that the trial that was coming up. Wasn't that the one he was actually pleading guilty to? Because he had to actually go to trial for this first one for, like, his early, like, money laundering stuff from.
Yeah. That's the other one.
Mm-hmm.
So, this one was it's supposed to happen this week, and he sort of, at the last minute, decided he's going to plead guilty and cooperate with the Mueller investigation.
Mm.
So, yeah, it's obviously another feather in the hat of the Mueller investigation, especially as Trump continues to scream about witch hunts, all that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, I mean,
sounds like something a witch would say.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's, maybe we should throw him in some water, see if he floats.
Yeah, we should just
wave them next to a duck. Wave them next to a duck, see if they're made of wood.
Yep. Yeah, so.
Cheaper than a bullet.
I think the plea for this is going to cap him at about 10 years.
Yeah.
In prison for this. So, not great, but also
isn't he basically going to be spending it in club fed though?
Who cares?
Probably.
It's getting him closer to Trump.
Yeah.
Yeah, so Yeah, and this will be, I think the other one, the bank fraud stuff, is also going to be paid out sort of concurrently with this sentencing as well.
Mm-hmm.
So he's not necessarily going to have them stacked up. But still, he is quite old, I believe, so.
Yeah,
he's in his...
Might be all he's got.
Yeah, he's in his late 60s, I think, so.
Yeah.
He's going to be in his late 70s when he gets out.
69 right now.
Yeah, so he's going to be almost 80.
Born on April 1st.
He's going to be almost 80 when he gets out, so.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the fifth member of the administration who has... Cool.
Wikipedia, they list the criminal charges he's been found guilty against.
Mm-hmm.
It's part of his, like, the little info box there.
Yeah.
criminal charge, 5 counts of tax fraud, 2 counts of bank fraud, 1 count of failing to disclose hidden foreign bank account, and 2 counts of conspiracy.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
And the funny thing is, he thought he could get away with all of this. Like, forever.
He got away with it for a while.
A good 20
then
years.
Then he got involved with Trump.
And what did we learn?
Everything
Trump
he touches,
takes everybody
man.
Down.
Yeah. All right. So this next story, you've probably already heard a good deal about it now, because not only has it been making the rounds of social media, but it's bullshit is why. Because, okay, so down in Dallas, Texas, this police officer, a woman by the name, what's her name?
Amber?
Yeah. Officer Amber.
Amber Geiger.
Yeah, Amber Geiger. She had apparently gotten off on what was like a 16-hour shift.
Yeah.
Or something like that. And so she got to what I think she thought was her apartment building. She went up to the floor where she thought her apartment was, and she tried to put her keys in there. The keys wouldn't work. She knocked on the door. According to neighbors, she was screaming, "Open up!" in there. And then the gentleman who actually lives there, who is like a businessman, an entrepreneur, pillar of the community,
yeah.
Opens it up, and she shoots him in his own apartment.
You can probably guess what color
yeah.
he is.
Yep.
You know, it's like ever since with Trayvon Martin, it's like the bar for how much they can get away with this just gets lower and lower.
Yeah.
Well, it's almost like that was where it was declared game on.
Yeah. It's like at this point, there's just really no two ways around it. She didn't have a warrant. You know, there was no search warrant. She had no reason or business to be in that to be at that person's apartment or in that person's house, living place.
And that's not how you would react to thinking you were entering your own home.
No. Nope. So she just straight up cold blooded murdered this guy. And
why are you in my house?
Hear the excuse they're using?
Oh yeah. Apparently they had a search warrant go in his apartment, and guess what? They found marijuana.
Oh, so that's
clearly a capital offense.
Yeah. Because of course, that's what freaking police departments always do when these big police brutality stories happen. They have to go in and do whatever they possibly can in order to, you know,
save
face and to try and make the victim look as bad as possible.
Hmm. Not working in this case.
No.
Like, you know, if you think you were going to your own house and your keys don't work, maybe you should stop and ask, wait a minute. Why wouldn't my keys work?
Yeah.
Maybe I'm not at the right house.
Hmm.
Mm. I mean, that's how a logical person would react, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's really at this point where if anyone still disagrees with what NFL players are doing, fuck you.
Yeah.
Full stop.
Like, you want to know why they're kneeling? Here it is.
Yep.
And these are just the stories you hear about.
Yep.
Yep. It's not about the flag, you fucking morons.
But, yeah, so I would like to say that this is pretty much an open and shut case.
But it is Texas.
Yeah, not only Texas, it's Dallas, Texas. And, Yeah, we'll just have to hang
just
back.
Leave it out there. Just have to leave it there.
Yeah.
Yeah, just hang back and see where it goes from here. Because to the average person, this looks pretty open and shut. You know, disgruntled cop goes into person's apartment and murders them in their own house.
Yeah.
Had no criminal record to speak of. In fact, I don't think he even had a speeding ticket to his name. He was just... She just straight capped him.
Yeah.
And, we'll just see. We'll get you on there from there. So,
just allegedly some bud.
Yeah, alleged.
You know, the cop probably had some spare in her pocket.
Yeah. Keep in mind, said bud is now legal in a few U.S. states and legal in one entire country that is north of us.
Yeah, but not in Texas yet. So, yeah.
Yeah. But anyway, so next up is a story about how our country's infrastructure just plain sucks. How it's old and outdated, desperately needs to be needing of getting some money for repairs.
But we can't have nice things.
No, we can't have nice things. And because of that, an entire Massachusetts neighborhood was basically incinerated in a gas explosion. Columbia Gas, which was the major regional provider, basically failed to update their system, and because of it, an entire neighborhood is now ash.
Yep. And here's the remarkable part, only one death.
Yeah.
But, yeah, they basically, due to negligence, blew up an entire neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God.
Let me tell you, my job was really awkward today.
Yeah.
God, the person that died, died after a chimney crashed in his car.
Mm-hmm.
So, didn't actually die from getting burned. That's
25 injured.
Yeah.
39 homes incinerated.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's... Wow, that's
uh-huh. Yes, it is, and... It's just another example of just, you know, not all utilities need to be private.
Hmm.
And this is a good example of one that probably shouldn't be.
Yeah.
Especially when it relies on public infrastructure.
Yep.
And again, as, you know, we always talk, and let's be honest, there have been stories here in the United States of our shitty infrastructure that we've been having to deal with since at least the 1960s.
Yeah.
And it almost never gets fixed.
Nope.
Usually something catastrophic like this has to happen first before anybody in power gives a shit.
Yeah.
Yep. It's the thing people campaign on that never really gets followed up.
Mm-hmm.
Trump only has infrastructure week when he wants people to talk about something else.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah. There's a few stories have slipped through the cracks on this. The mayor basically handed control of the entire situation over to one of Columbia Gas's competitors, Eversource.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a third provider in the area, National Grid, who has a bunch of who's dealing with a whole labor strike right now.
Mm-hmm.
And those strikers are actually on the ground helping Eversource put the whole thing back together.
Yep.
So this is a pretty big mess that... you know, it'll be interesting to see it play out.
Yeah.
Probably Columbia Gas is probably out of business at this point.
The death, I think, buries them.
Yeah. But also, thumbs up on organized labor, because holy shit.
Yep.
Those guys stepped up to the plate.
Yeah.
When they were needed, so.
I'm sure by Monday they will be Eversource employees.
Probably. Yeah. So
Columbia Gas reps made a public appearance, tried to do a bit of a press conference thing, and it didn't go well.
Well, no shit.
So I guess they got it. So I guess they made themselves scarce before people came back with axes.
Yeah, axes. Yeah,
it's
kind of
hard to. It's kind of hard to spin something like that whole neighborhood there went all explodey. That really isn't something you could spin in PR.
Yeah. Let's see. Okay, everybody, everybody here, step forward who has a neighborhood that still exists. Hey, not so fast, you guys.
Yeah.
That's probably how it, the only way it could have gotten worse.
Yeah.
So yeah, another sign that, you know, gas probably needs to be a public utility and not.
It is in some places.
It
as a hard and fast rule, probably should be.
Yeah. Privatization is not a cure-all.
Nope.
But
well, there are some private gas companies that, out there that are really good, but sometimes you get Columbia Gas.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, all right, so next story we've got is something that almost was a tragedy if it weren't for the fact that this guy was a complete dumbass. Students went to their high school? Was it a high school?
12-year-old boy.
12-year-old boy, so it was elementary school.
Junior high.
Yeah, junior high. Well, no, actually, that would have been elementary school where I am.
No, it's North Scott Junior High.
Yeah, like I said, where I live, it would have still been elementary school. But, yeah, he decided he was going to take a gun and he was going to shoot his teacher, except he forgot the safety was still on.
Yep.
And now he's being charged with attempted murder.
Yeah, basically went into his class, told everybody to get down, and pointed the gun at his teacher and pulled the trigger. Nothing happened. Nothing
happened. Click, 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 click.
And as that happened, the teacher tackled him, took the gun away from him, and they obviously called the cops.
Yep.
So that was one school shooting prevented by dumbassery.
Yeah.
Why can't they all go that way?
Yeah. I mean, fucking hell. See, that's the thing about – one of the things about most gun nuts is you find out most of them don't really know how to actually operate a gun properly.
Because they steal it from their parents.
And they usually have really shitty trigger discipline. Don't know how to properly clean one. But, no, they got to show how small their dicks are.
Yep. Well, this one was – could have been worse.
It would have been worse, but it was averted by his own stupidity. So,
yep.
He'll be charged as a juvenile, so...
Yeah, so Juvie Hall...
His stupidity probably saved him, too.
Yeah. Next up, we got another story from our extremely fucked up immigration system. So, those migrant families, you know, it became sort of a thing where they were going to start separating them from their families at the border. Well... Now they're going to get a second chance at asylum.
Yep. I think this is one of their ideas for trying to fix the situation.
That they started.
That they created in the first place.
Yeah, because obviously they got separated and sent away.
Mm-hmm.
Now they're trying to get them back together, and I'm going to assume some of them are at least going to get in.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's... How long has this been going on? Since at least... Before E3, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
So this has been like 4 or 5 months now.
Mm-hmm.
They still don't know how to get all of them out of there.
Pretty much it was the thing that finally sank Trump. But
because we have our own brown kid jail.
Yeah. We have our own brown kid concentration camps.
Yeah, I think Ted Cruz was talking about North Korean... prison camps or something like that. And it's like, what about the brown kid camps you got in Texas?
Yeah. That's,
right. Oh, by the way, Ted Cruz is actually, there's a very good chance now he's going to lose his next election. Because Beto O'Rourke is kicking his ass.
Yeah.
But yeah.
If Texas goes blue, oh geez.
Well, Texas is...
Then we'll never have another Republican president again.
Well, the studies have basically shown that because of the demographic shift, it's going to be... It's pretty much guaranteed to be a blue state within the next 10 years. Yeah. And Florida, too, probably in like 20. So, yeah, that's why they're getting that... They're getting all that voter suppression shit in while they can.
Yep. But, trying to stack the Supreme Court.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because they know their day's coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, so next story we got here. The Me Too movement has claimed another victim. Victimizer, I should say. Les Moonves, the chairman of CBS, Central Broadcasting, has departed his position after his latest sexual assault allegations.
Yep, yeah. And they're going to be withholding his golden pension. Parachute.
Yep, they're withholding his pension.
Basically, at least donating some of it to charities related to the Me Too movement.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this shouldn't really be that much of a surprise. If you look at him, he kind of looks kind of skeezy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I always have thought he looked kind of shady to me, but
yeah.
Well, that may just be my thing. Besides, you know, there was that whole GameSpot thing that was under his watch as well, so...
Mm-hmm. That also happened, by the way, yes. Mm. We totally forgot about that. Yes, that totally happened while he was there. Now
and
for
I think the executive producer of 60 Minutes has also stepped down.
Mm-hmm.
Because he was also named in some of the earlier reports about Les Moonves.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's basically now common knowledge that basically all of your favorite media from the last 20 years was basically produced by some real creeps.
Hmm. Yep.
Yeah, now they're one by one being, like, kicked out of there.
Yeah. Hmm. The purge is on.
Yep.
All right. Next up. You guys remember back when, right around the time... After Trump was elected, he had his motorcade going, and there was a cyclist that flipped him off.
Yeah.
Yep.
Famously got up there.
This was our hero of the week 1 week, wasn't it?
Yep, mm-hmm. She was. Well, guess what? We now know that she's running for local office in Northern Virginia.
Good.
And she's going to win.
Yep.
Oh, yeah.
Yep, she is going to challenge Suzanne Volpe, a Republican, mm-hmm. represents the Algonquian district in the Loudoun County Board of Supervisors,
mm-hmm.
and it's for next year, 2019.
Yep.
Which, see, the county reliably votes for Democrats at the state and federal level, but Republicans maintain control of that board 6-3.
Mm-hmm.
And they've represented the county in Congress for nearly 40 years.
Yep. So, blue wave.
Yep.
It's going to happen.
Well, it will happen, but it only happens if we actually go out there and vote.
Yep.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, we're now less than 60 days, so... Yep. Yeah. By the way, it's still...
Stuff going to
man, I can't wait to see what we end up if we get an October surprise this year. It's going to be...
Oh, 2 weeks into October.
Well, hasn't this year kind of been the gift that keeps on giving?
Pretty much. I mean, it's pretty much like once a week, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So much so that people actually have started to forget about some of it.
Yeah.
It's just too much.
Which is not great, but...
No.
No. A lot of people have forgotten, but we haven't.
Hmm.
Yeah.
As long as it still paints the GOP to the point that their new logo might as well be a dumpster with flames belching out of it.
And those flames are in the shape of a swastika.
Hmm.
Yep.
Okay, that would take some talent to make happen, but I can see it.
Yeah. But, all right, so the next story. Does anybody here know anybody who vapes?
Yeah, my mom does.
Yeah. I will say it's been a boon for people who are trying to quit smoking because, you know, you don't have to deal with that toxic smoke anymore.
Yep.
And,
I did briefly a few years ago, but based on what was going on in my life around that time, that was probably one of the more harmless things I was doing.
Yeah. Mm. You know, I've got a friend or two I know who vapes. Both of them also recovering smokers. But, you know, it's vaping is now basically all the tobacco companies have figured out that as cigarettes are sort of on their way out, because everybody knows now the percentage of teen smoking has gone down to about 6% now.
Yeah.
And will probably become a thing of the past in the United States within the next couple of generations. So now they're moving
on. So it's all going to be vape or cannabis.
Yeah. E-cigs, basically. E-pipes. But the thing about vaping is, although it's less lethal than cigarettes are...
It's not perfect.
It's not perfect. There are still some real health risks that go along with it. It just, yeah. You know, it's not to the point of where you're basically breathing in rat poison, you know. But, you know, there's still shit in there that can do some awful stuff to you.
Yeah, I've heard about something called popcorn lung.
Yep. Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, much as what happened with cigarettes, vaping is now becoming a major thing with the young folks. And so the FDA has basically decided that they need to stop this shit in its tracks, and now they're cracking down on retailers and makers. Yep. So I'm guessing we're going to start seeing another Surgeon General's warning.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's surprising that it didn't have that from the start. But yeah, so they are giving manufacturers of Juul, Vuse, Mark 10, XL, Blue, and Logic 60, or Logic 60 days to submit robust plans to prevent youth vaping. If they don't think they're going far enough, they could order their products off the market. And those five brands make up more than 97% of the U.S.
Are any of those brands related to like Marlboro or?
I don't think so.
Philip Morris.
I don't know, but I would not be surprised if that's
if they have stock
those
somewhere.
Guys go to.
Yeah.
Blue was what I smoked when I tried it.
Yeah. For the
it
for
wasn't,
those who
I wasn't even a smoker at the time either. I was just looking for a new stimulant because caffeine had stopped doing its work.
Yeah. For those who are curious, what Phil was referring to earlier, popcorn lung. It's called bronchiolitis obliterans. And
Pat that mentioned it, but
yeah, it's Pat. It's caused by a chemical called diacetyl, which is common in e-cigarettes.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and as they say here, more than 2 million middle school, high school, and college students use them. Use the battery powered devices to heat liquid based nicotine and the vapor. E-cigarettes are the most popular tobacco product among teens. 12% of high school students, 3% of middle school students use it. Have used it in the past 30 days. Parents think they're not doing enough, the FDA.
Yeah.
They talked to one parent of, I have two teenagers that are now vape addicts. First thing the FDA needs to do is ban nicotine. These kids do not have a chance.
See, this wouldn't be an issue if we could just have weed.
Yep.
Yeah. Because so
nicotine nicotine is like the worst drug with the least benefits. Like, because there is no, you know, at least with weed, you get a euphoric feeling of well-being, you know, or, you know, stupid shit's just funny.
Yeah.
And it's a boon to, you know, the junk food industry, but you don't get any of that from nicotine.
Yeah. Yeah, and so they're also cracking down on retailers. They targeted more than 1,300 online and brick-and-mortar retailers with warning letters or civil penalties for selling to minors. 131 of them will have to pay penalties. The last month, the FDA was weighing benefits of e-cigarettes in terms of helping adults quit smoking against the risk of young people who become addicted through that. Yeah. I think I've seen studies that suggest like e-cigarettes don't really do much for helping people get off.
Yeah.
It tends to get people on more often than getting off.
Yeah.
It's a bit different in that, you know, the consumption of it is a little bit more concentrated when you vape.
Yeah.
So, yeah, you actually get more. So the theory is that you get more per puff, so you have to do less of it to get your satisfaction. I'm not sure how well that really ends up working out, but I don't know.
Yeah, and
I mean, if there's warning labels on regular cigarettes and you have to be 18 to buy regular cigarettes,
you probably should do the same. Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, you can't even drink until you're 21 in this country. So, FDA needs to step their game up.
Yeah.
It sounds like they're doing just that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. So next story. We've talked a few times about, the problems of plastics in the oceans.
Garbage island.
Yeah, the Great Pacific Garbage Patch, as it's called. Well, Ocean Cleanup is now testing a new system that they're using so they can use to more efficiently catch plastic.
Yep. Yeah, so Ocean Cleanup is a nonprofit company that has come up in the last couple of years, and they have an idea that they think will help out a lot with this. They're currently testing off of the coast of San Francisco. So this thing is kind of like a, I'm not sure how to describe it. It's sort of like a, it's like a big plastic tube, about 2,000 feet long, 10-foot skirt below, forming kind of a U-shaped barrier that is designed to be propelled by wind and waves. It's aimed to collect plastic as it floats. Then every few months, a support vessel would come by to get the plastic, like a oceanic garbage truck. Then you could, they would obviously take the plastic back to land to recycle it. If it goes well, they plan to have about 60 of these things, which they say could remove about half of the plastic in the Great Pacific Garbage Patch in about 5 years.
That would be progress.
Yes, it would be. Combine that with, those
plastic-eating enzymes
that they've developed. And we can actually see some major progress towards this problem in our lifetime. So,
Science is great, you know that?
Yeah. Science, bitch! Yeah, science is awesome. Creationism, not so.
Yeah.
Keep it out of your schools. All right, so so we now have some of the first next story we got here. We now have some of the first confirmed extinctions of the birds this decade. There's a total of 8 of them. 8 species of birds have since been declared extinct this decade. One of them is the macaw from Spix.
Yeah, the Spix macaw is, if you've seen Rio, the movie, this is the blue macaw in that.
Yeah.
And, they are, one of 8 that have been found to be highly likely to be extinct. There are some of these in zoos and such, but they don't count those.
Yeah.
Because they're not free. But yeah, kind of some sad stuff to see.
I mean, it's unfortunate. I mean, we know that, species go extinct all the time. It's just, part of the natural cycle.
Yeah.
But
a lot of these are from South America.
We can't wash our hands of it.
No, we are partly responsible for it.
A lot of these are in South America.
In the rainforest.
Yeah, that are being deforested.
Yep. Yeah, that's not as big a topic as it was back in the 90s.
No.
No, we've realized that the problem is the whole Earth.
Yeah. But yeah, that sucks. It's unfortunate, but I mean, I'm guessing there are things that they can do to help restore the population. Yeah. I mean, it's not unheard of that we've had what were previously thought to be extinct species make a big comeback at some point. So
yeah,
it's not set in stone, but they are in serious danger of going extinct very soon.
Yep.
So, all right. Story after that. If you're a car fan, it's unfortunate. If you're me, I'm fine with it because honestly, I always thought these things were ugly as sin. Volkswagen will be ending their iconic Beetle line in 2019.
Yay!
Sweet.
Seriously,
there's so much that they do better anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, these things were kind of cyclical, weren't they? They're kind of big the day, and then
they were really big in the 60s. They were like
a they had a bit of a comeback, and this is just the end of the comeback.
Once the 60s nostalgia hit, they made a bit of a comeback, and now people have realized what I've always known, which is they're really fucking stupid.
Exactly.
Yeah. Wasn't it, didn't Urkel have one? Was that his old thing? Or, I forget what that, no. They had a similar kind of car, like a really small hatchback.
Yeah.
One of the, was it like one of those two-seaters? Ones that are so, so cramped you can only, you could barely fit inside of it?
I think he had a smart car.
Or something close to it, yeah.
I know Drew Carey had one in his show.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sold about 15,000 of them last year.
Yeah, because nobody wants them.
Yeah, because again, they're ugly. They're ugly little things.
Yeah, I wonder if you like put two of them together, like you attach the bottoms of them, if you just roll around them on them,
you'd get a whole car.
Might be a better use for them. But
anyway. Yeah. But yeah,
the Porsche 911 is basically just a squashed Volkswagen Beetle, so still got those.
Yeah, and of course, if they're ending the line, doesn't that basically mean that pretty much anybody else will be free to make copies of them?
Yeah, not really. It's just they do this every so often. It's like they'll end the line, and then if there's a demand again, they'll just start it up again.
Yeah.
And I don't know why another company wanted to make a clone of something that is not doing well.
Yeah, they could. But yeah. I don't think anybody in the right mind would want that.
I mean, if there are people who want to manufacture cars that have feelings. So yeah, we got to talk about crazy Japanese concept cars sometime, because that's a whole world of madness all its own.
Well, I hope the Bumblebee movie is out before this thing happens.
Well, Bumblebee's a Camaro, so
yeah, they're fine.
Well, I mean, I thought the new movie was a Beetle.
I don't know. Unless maybe. They did go back to the original roots, so yeah, I think it's a yellow Beetle this time.
Mm.
But, well, the Bumblebee movie comes out in December, and these stop production in 2019, so...
Yep.
Some time. Get your collector's items, folks.
Yep. All right. Well, next up. The Weather Channel it's pretty much been like a, let's be honest, it's basically the sort of standard for any cable or satellite package. So much so you'd want to think that they almost could be a government agency all their own. But
except they criticize the government.
Yeah, because they actually think that climate change is real.
Yeah.
What a concept.
It's like that's part of their business.
Yeah, but basically, because of the current hurricane, they put on this amazing MR demo about what a hurricane storm surge is like. That pretty much impressed everyone who saw it.
Yeah, it's a really cool thing they showed. So,
isn't this the one where the guy like showed like what being in 9 feet of water would look like?
Yeah, they have a couple of these videos, depending on who's presenting it.
Yeah.
But yeah, they sort of show about the sort of storm surge map that is right behind them. Then they show sort of the woman or the guy standing in this neighborhood. Show like, oh, so it goes from 3 feet, shows like, you know, about halfway, you know, you have tough time walking, might get knocked over. Sometimes cars will be... moved around with them. But then goes to 6, where it's completely above her head or his head. Cars are dangerous weapons that can pin you down, all that sort of stuff.
Yep.
Then goes up to 9 feet, shows you, you know, basically right up to the top of your houses for the most part.
Yeah.
That's when they talk about how high the flooding water is, like it's not a joke.
Well, shit, all the National Weather Service did was draw a dick on the map.
Not purposely, but yeah.
It was unfortunate, but yes.
And the thing was, what made it so perfect is that section of, it was South Carolina that it was going to, had just the shoreline was just enough of a yaw that it looks like it was going into South Carolina's mouth. So, I mean, there's... Let's just say there's a reason why they call it Moorhead City.
Yeah.
Oh.
So, the Weather Channel, they, when they're not trying to do weird reality shows, they actually do good content.
Yeah. Yeah.
I guess this whole thing they were using uses the Unreal Engine.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yes, it does.
With AR company the Future Group.
They should enter it next, make something Unreal.
Mm-hmm.
And they've done tornado demonstrations as well in this tech.
Yeah.
Pretty awesome. Yep. All right. So next up, and by the way, you've probably figured out by now we're past the serious part of the show. But this next story is pretty amazing. SETI, you know, people who are out there trying to get signals from space, they spotted 72 signals from galaxies that are 3.3 billion light years away.
Yeah. Yeah, so they also used AI tech to help them sort of decipher the data they were getting.
Mm-hmm.
Like they had about 400 terabytes of radio data from this dwarf galaxy that was 3 billion light years away.
Mm-hmm.
So the signals they spotted were fast radio bursts,
mm-hmm.
which are bright and quick pulses that were first discovered in 2007 and are believed to come from distant galaxies, although they do not really know much about what causes them.
Mm-hmm.
It's something really cool that they managed to find.
Yeah. We don't know if they have structure yet. We don't know if there's actually anything in those signals, but we just know that we have something here.
Mm-hmm. I mean, it's also completely possible that signal was just their signal bouncing off a rock or something, but...
Yeah.
Or just static emitted. Yeah.
Or it could totally be someone trying to contact us. It's in the realm of possibility.
Yeah.
Just fuck you. You're terrible.
Stop launching your junk into space.
Lock her up.
Yeah.
Oh no, the aliens are racist.
Yeah.
Oh, crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, they'll be racist anyway.
Mm-hmm. All right. And this next story is just really fucking stupid, so prepare yourself. So Thomas the Tank Engine and friends, you know, we grew up with it, sort of, and...
It's a terrible show.
It's really stupid, but it's good stuff for kids.
An awful shit happens in it.
Yeah.
That's creepy as fuck, I find. I always found that show to be...
It's because the mouths don't move.
I just didn't like the faces. That just creeped me out.
Yeah. But basically, Thomas and friends, they... just a little bit of history. Thomas and friends, it was originally a whole series... It was a series of children's books by a pastor in England who was a railroad enthusiast, was angry about the fact that, you know, old steam and coal locomotives were being replaced with electric locomotives and stuff like that. But the show, you know, it's sort of updated and grown over the years. Their cast is more diverse. They have girl trains as well as boy trains, which then comes into the question... Do these trains reproduce, and how?
Some things are better left unasked.
But so the people.
If this is Rule 39,
Rule 34.
I'm going to be very unhappy.
It's there.
Oh, God damn it!
But anyway, NRATV.
Internet, why are you the way you are?
We don't
know. Well, yeah. So guess, you know. So modern Thomas and Friends is pretty diverse. You know, it's had everyone, I mean, they've had people like freaking Russell Means, you know, the famous Native American activist. He was an actor on that show for a long time. Alec Baldwin, you know, George Carlin.
Yeah.
You know, he was, you know, they played conductors on Shining Time, you know.
Yeah.
And then there was that god-awful movie with Peter Fonda, but.
Yeah.
Just watch if you really want to watch the Nostalgia Critic review he did of that, because Peter Fonda put far more effort into that than it was worth.
he really, really tried.
Yeah. Whereas Alec Baldwin apparently did not give a shit at all.
No. Yeah, but yeah.
Anyway.
I would think that would be a situation where fucks are not to be given.
Yeah. But guess who actually got pissed off about this? Dana Lash and the people at NRA TV. Shocking. Who got so pissed off that they decided to Photoshop the tank engines with KK hoods on them. Clan hoods, yeah.
Yeah.
Because, why?
I think she said, "This is horrible. That's where it gets really strange to me. Am I to understand this entire time that Thomas and his trains were white? Because they all have gray faces. How do you bring ethnic diversity? I mean, they had to paint what I guess they thought was some sort of African pattern on the side of Nia's engine."
Yeah.
Let's see, the Mattel, the owner of the Thomas the Tank Engine brand, announced in a statement, "We are not associated with images that promote hate and denounce any images of our brand that are being used to convey a message not in line with the values of the company."
Mm-hmm. By the way, this, in case you're curious, this is the character they're talking about, Nia, one of the girl trains. Not the first, mind you. They've had...
Yeah, they've had girl trains for a long time.
You know, yeah, this is, her.
Yeah.
And I guess the reason they have an African train is because, guess what? Africans do have, railroads and stuff.
Yeah.
And the idea about Sodor, the island of Sodor, is that it's not, like, actually part of any country. It's its own place, and all the places in the world are kind of linked to it.
Yeah.
I think there's also a... one that's like, I think it's supposed to be from the Middle East, and her sort of overall body is a lot thicker, so it kind of looks like she's wearing a hijab. This is what they had to get upset about.
Yep.
The NRA showing just how pointless they are.
Well, I guess after, running out of all those Russian rubles, they had to find some way to make money.
Yeah, the NRA TV is a special brand of stupid.
Yeah.
Definitely watch the Last Week Tonight episode about that. Imagine if you mixed Fox News with Discovery with, like, Home and Garden. And yeah. The budget was, like, one-tenth of that.
Yeah.
The whole Last Week Tonight episode is kind of about NRA TV in the wake of the Parkland shooting, as, a bunch of boycotts are happening to people that were sponsoring NRA in any form.
Yeah.
NRA TV is an app that is on Roku, iTunes, and I think Amazon.
And I remember when they were just showing us Eddie the Eagle in elementary school.
Yeah, which they...
They'll have on their YouTube channel, by the way.
Yeah.
Yeah, and if you remember the whole Dana Lash bit about fighting the liberal media with the closed fist of truth.
Yeah.
She means guns.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, so I wanted to bring this up. Remember how in recent years NRA started blaming video games for violence and stuff?
Uh-huh.
Well, within those years, they put out another Eddie the Eagle cartoon that was in 3D, and one of the big points that they make in there is that real guns aren't the same as the ones you have in video games, so apparently there's some wires crossed somewhere.
Yeah. Or somebody decided to, like, slip that in there and got away with it for a little while.
It's possible. But, God, I swear. All right, so,
speaking of crazy.
Mm-hmm. So, sadly, Steve Irwin, passed away, by a pure accident several years ago. He was swimming underneath the ocean, and he was stung in the heart by a stingray.
Yep.
They've decided, the Animal Planet folks have decided they're going to start a new show involving the Irwin family themselves.
Nice.
Yep. Yeah, I think it's called The Irwin Family.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I think so.
Original.
And it's going to be starting up this fall on, obviously, Animal Planet. And, it's going to have the whole family in it.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And, yeah, the apple doesn't fall from far from the tree.
Yeah, yep. The kids have
a working Let's just say they take desserts. After their dad a lot.
Yeah. So, this is going to be fun to watch. And I don't really like these kind of, you know, reality shows, but, yeah, this will probably...
Still no news if they're going to try and jam their thumbs out of any alligator's buttholes or not. But
oh, God.
Maybe we'll get a peek at the John Oliver Chlamydia Award. Koala Chlamydia Award.
Yeah,
okay. It's down there.
All right. And next up, we got our penultimate story of the night. In the DC Cinematic Universe, Henry Cavill is out as Superman.
Good. Because he kind of sucked.
Yeah, he was garbage. Get somebody else, please.
Hmm. I have any better material first.
Yeah, well... Having somebody who could, you know, actually act is probably helpful as well.
Yeah, and by that kind of begs the
question of what this is going to mean for what he's going to do next.
He's going to be Geralt in the Netflix show, and so I guess this is primarily
That actually works because although Geralt's a cool character, he doesn't really have much emotion to speak of. He's perfect.
Yeah. Yeah, so this all kind of stems from them wanting to have a Superman cameo in Shazam.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But contract talks between his reps and Warner Brothers broke down, and so they said, you know, we're done.
Yeah. Yep.
And I guess Warner is going to be focusing on a Supergirl movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, Supergirl show isn't bad, so there's a possibility there.
Yeah, but that's also different people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, anyways, actually, you know, the Geralt thing in the Netflix show is probably going to be good, and I think Cavill is probably just looking for an excuse to get away.
Yeah.
People are jumping off that sinking ship.
Yeah, especially after the whole mustache thing.
Yep.
Because he had a gig with some other movie where he had a mustache, and instead of maybe having him shave off the mustache or finding a way to work around the schedule so that he could get his work done with the other one first and then go over, or just shave it and add it on, because that's probably a lot easier than digitally removing it.
Yeah.
That all is kind of a mess, and the DC Cinematic Universe is still kind of
shit.
Shape shifting mess of weirdness.
Yeah, and there's parts of it that look like they have potential.
Yeah, like the Wonder Woman stuff is.
Yeah, really
that might be the only part of it that ends up getting salvaged.
Yeah,
and I can see them pulling the trigger on a crisis style cinematic storyline. Just to
after Infinity, you know, they're gonna have to.
Yeah.
And just go
and
back to the drawing
board.
There's
people talking about, oh, I want to be Batman. Like, what's his name? I'm trying to think.
Well, current Batman was Ben Affleck.
Yeah, but the guy from, crap, what's the show that was on AMC, the marketing show?
Mad Men?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay.
That guy was like, I want to be Batman. Well, you need a bit more... to do more than that, just announcing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, he's not exactly... He's about the same age as Ben Affleck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's not exactly a huge departure.
Nope. And finally, last story for the night, other than, you know, the fact that the new season of BoJack Horseman premiered today on Netflix, which means I got something I got to do tonight. We finally got the first look at Netflix's adaptation of The Chilling Adventures of Sabrina.
And it looks pretty good.
Yeah, so for those who don't know, Archie has a recent comic line called Archie Horror, where they sort of took their classic properties and put them in a horror work, and like they did Archie Afterlife, I think it was, Afterlife with Archie.
They've really been putting new spins on that IP.
Yeah, well, they did that. We had Riverdale, which...
Really good.
Yeah.
Was that, I hadn't seen that, but was that kind of like Mark Waid's run?
Riverdale. Well, it was. It kind of. It's kind of like that.
Is it more like murder mystery?
Yeah, no, a little bit more darker.
Like murder mystery in the Archie universe.
Yeah,
kind of cool. Done Netflix.
Like, yeah. What, Jughead didn't even have like the stupid hat,
the crown.
For a while.
Yeah. Well, Chilling Adventures of Sabrina is another one of the comics that they put out, and it's basically exactly what you think it would be. It takes the whole Sabrina the Teenage Witch storyline and gives it that dark sheen you always knew was underneath it. Yeah. It's just more obvious now. And even more obvious with this when you see that she's having a birthday party with the devil.
Yeah. I wasn't expecting to like what I saw here, and I did.
Yeah, looks genuinely good. And yes, Salem is in it.
Yeah.
But,
you gotta have a cat.
Mm-hmm. And it looks... You gotta really hand it to Archie. I don't know who it was in that company who figured it out, but they figured out how to reboot all of their properties, which, by the way, have been around since at least the 1960s.
Yeah.
And the producer of the Riverdale show is working on this.
Yep.
Yeah, and the Sabrina they have is Kiernan Shipka. She's mm-hmm. looking good in this show. I don't know if I've seen anything she's been in. I'm looking at now, she did a voice for Family Guy for an episode.
Mm-hmm.
Do we have a date?
October 26th.
Okay.
Okay, she was in Mad Men. Sally Draper. Oh, she's a little girl. Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's also in Unbreakable Kimmy Schmidt.
Mm-hmm.
She was Kimmy with a Y. Well, they switched the Y in the I.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I always wondered how it was that Archie has managed to stay around so long.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we all know comics don't sell as well as they used to. Even today when, comics are like a big part of the box office.
Yeah.
You know, especially it only helps
that one that looks like it's very much like a comic from the 60s.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason they've managed to stay around is because, well, recycling. they sell pretty much everywhere you go, grocery stores, they stock like digest-sized collections at a very affordable price. So that's kind of the reason why they've managed to stick around.
They've also done just weird stuff.
Yeah, they did. You know, they've done.
I think Sonic was a big part of their thing for a while.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
And I still love those characters. But of course, Ken Penders is an asshole, and so. But that's a whole other thing. For the record, this whole sort of dark Sabrina thing that they're doing here actually isn't terribly new. They've done it once or twice before. It just never really took off.
Yeah, it was never executed as well as it was here.
Yeah.
Hmm.
You got the typical sitcom treatment back in the late 90s. Yeah.
Which was pretty much where it got its popularity from originally. Yeah. Which is so funny now because, it was a good show, but it's so funny now because now you're watching, you're seeing all these comments on the YouTube channel where they're showing this... the sneak peek, and it's like, it's like, oh God, the Illuminati is ruining my childhood. It's
yeah, I just kind of try to gloss over those kind of comments because, yeah, I've destroyed enough brain cells during my lifetime. I don't need to destroy anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yes, we have. So, I do believe we've got a show, folks.
Yep.
So I would like to remind all of our listeners, if you have a question, comment, something you want us to read on the air, you can get to us at letsweekenders@gmail.com. That's letsweekenders@gmail.com. You can find it linked in our show notes that you can read with your eyes. And also on top of iTunes, you can find our little glorious bit of unscripted shenanigans at Apple Podcasts, TuneIn, Google Play, RSS, archive.org, basically any places where podcasts like ours can be downloaded and listened to at your listening pleasure. I have been your host with the most, Brandon Perkins, and for Filippo Donalfo, Patrick Mifflin, and Chris Elogi, good night, sleep tight. Those stupid beach crackers really need to get out of the fucking way because that hurricane is about to fuck them over.
It's called natural selection. It's the bottom of the food chain.